All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. We are going to have a new members fellowship right after the service tonight across the hall in Baker. And so if you are involved in that, please just as soon as the service is over, go on over, and we'll be over just as quick as possible and get things rolling, all right? But let's look tonight for the message at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. And I want to begin reading, please, in verse 36. Verse 36. All right, the Bible says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him." All right, now, just so you know, this one of the Pharisees, his name was Simon, okay? And then desired him that he... Well, that's Jesus. That him and he is the Lord Jesus. So this Simon is wanting the Lord Jesus to come to his house and eat dinner. All right? Everybody got that? Easy, easy, easy. All right, now look at the rest of it. It says, "And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat." In other words, sat down to the dinner, to food. Verse 37, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment." Verse 39, "Now the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it. He spake within himself, saying, This man, if..." All right, you see that? "This man, if..." If. Shame on him. "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him. For she is a sinner." He sure knew she was, didn't he? Huh. Verse 40. "And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." Now that's Greek for, "Simon, you better buckle up, because you're about to get your sails clipped. I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most?" Simon answered and said, "Well, I suppose that he to whom he forgave..." What's the next word? "Most." "Most." "And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. I want to take these verses tonight and speak to you on the subject of honoring the Lord Jesus. Honoring the Lord Jesus. That's what this gal did. She honored the Lord Jesus in an amazing way. Let's pray, and then the message. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for what we can glean from these verses. And Father, I pray that you'll help me as I speak tonight, and I pray you'll help our folks as they listen. And may the Word of God make an imprint. May the Word of God make a difference. And Father, I pray that we will see the importance of honoring you. And Father, we live in a world where there is very little honor that is directed your way. And so I pray that we will see what it means to give honor to you in our daily lives. So Father, bless, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, keep your Bible open right here. Keep your Bible open right here, and I want to just take this passage of Scripture and show you a couple of things out of verse 38 that I trust will be an encouragement and a blessing to each and every heart this evening. There was a Pharisee, and his name was Simon, and he invited the Lord Jesus to his house for dinner. And this Pharisee was rude. He was rude to the Lord Jesus. He was a horrible host, just a horrible host. He mistreated the Lord, and with the intent, I'm sure, of embarrassing him terribly in front of his friends and family. Luke simply tells us that Simon was a Pharisee. And by that title, we see this statement putting Simon in a class and in an atmosphere, and especially in a theological position where he would have stood out from all the others. He would have been a standout. You could have looked at him and known that he was a Pharisee, of course. You would have seen him all decked out in his priestly garb, and he would have had a certain air about him, and he would have treated the Lord Jesus in a specific way. And that's exactly what he did. You see, when you read the word Pharisee here, this word Pharisee is not a Greek word. Now, it is in the Greek New Testament, but it was an adaptation of the Hebrew name for this sect of Judaism. And the name comes from the Hebrew word, which simply means separation. Now, we know that that's what the Pharisees prided themselves on, was their separation from everything else. They just thought that they were a notch up, you know. They were one rung higher on the ladder than anybody else. And so their name simply means, it comes from a Hebrew word that simply means separation. And the folks, these folks rose up in that what's called the intertestamental period. Now, what's that? Well, that is a 400-year-long period between Malachi and Matthew. 400 years. All right, now you think about that. That's a long time. That is a long time. And they call them, in history, they call them the 400 silent years. But I'm telling you, they were anything but silent. There was all kinds of things that went on and happened in Israel and surrounding areas at this time. So it was a busy time. It was a very difficult time because the Romans were trying to get their grip and their foothold, and of course the Jews fought them at every step of the way. Now, their hostility towards the Lord Jesus is certainly marked in the four Gospels and is very easy to notice. Luke names them, just Luke. I'm not talking about Matthew or Mark or John. I'm just talking about Luke. And Luke names them 28 times in his gospel. 28 times. Now here's the kicker. Every time, they are mentioned in the Gospel of Luke, they are seen as being hostile toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon was one of this class. And in his mind, he was completely satisfied with himself spiritually. He and all of his ilk did not for a minute think they needed anything that the Lord Jesus brought to this earth. They didn't think they needed any of it. They were perfectly satisfied with observing the traditions of the elders and the ritual of ceremonial rites. Now, that was all they were concerned about. Be seen and be seen. That's what they wanted. They wanted two things. Be seen and be seen. And not necessarily in that order. But that's what they wanted, was to be seen. They are the ones the Lord Jesus said, you walk around calling one another rabbi. Rabbi, because you just like to hear that spoken. You know, you just like to hear that. It's sort of like down in Annapolis, or it's sort of like down in Washington, D.C. You can't have two politicians walk by one another and call one another by their name. It's always senator. It's always congressman. And that's one thing that I noticed immediately the first time I ever went to Annapolis to pray. I noticed that right off the bat. Nobody called anyone by their first name. They didn't call anyone by their last name. They just simply referred to one another as congressman, and they would nod their heads like that and kind of look down their noses at everybody else. But that is what authority and power normally does to a person. Now, the next person in this story is the woman. And Luke simply refers to her as a sinner. A sinner. Now, this label that was attached to her were on the opposite ends of the scale from where the Pharisees were. What they called her, now remember, they called the Pharisees separated. They're not calling her separated. She's the problem, all right, in their eyes. She's the problem, and thus she is simply referred to as a sinner. Now, isn't it strange that now both Simon and the sinner are both in the same house? Question, why is she there? Well, according to the story, she's there to see Jesus. She did not come to see Simon. She came to see the Lord Jesus. And of course, we know that Simon was there. And why was he there? Well, he was there to see the Lord Jesus as well. So both of them were there for the same reason, but their motives were completely different. And that's what we got to keep in mind as we go through this. They were both there for the same reason, to see the Lord Jesus. Now, in verse 38, I want you to notice that her actions were fourfold. She did four things and were a stern rebuke to Simon and to Simon's other Pharisee guests, who, although rebuked, did not hesitate to criticize the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, she did four things in order to honor the Lord Jesus. But these Pharisees completely missed the four things that she did. They did not understand why she did what she did. The only thing they could see was, well, if he was a real prophet, well, excuse me, he is a real prophet. Well, if he were a real prophet, you know, that's all they could talk about, was trying to make themselves look better and him look worse. That was all they were concerned with. All right, I'm not going to chase rabbits. I'm wanting to so bad. Number one, there's four things. Number one, notice what she did. Look at verse 38. The Bible says that she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment that was in the alabaster box. Now, first thing I want you to see here, all right, honoring the Lord Jesus. The first thing she did to honor Christ was this. She washed his feet. Now, that was Simon's job. All right? Simon should have been the one to do that. The Pharisees had failed to show the Lord Jesus the kindness of washing his feet when he came, when he entered into Simon's house. This gesture of kindness was no doubt ignored on purpose. It was done on purpose. It was not something that Simon just, oh, I forgot. No, you didn't forget. You just felt yourself too good to kneel down and wash the Lord Jesus' feet when he came in to your house. You see, this gesture is a Middle Eastern custom. And whenever anybody visited another a dwelling place, when they came in, they had the host take a basin of water and rinse the dust and the grime off of their feet. Now, they did not wear, those high-dollar boots, you know. They did not have Nike tennis shoes, you know, none of that stuff. They wore sandals. They wore sandals. And in the Middle East, it's very hot, it's very arid, and the roads and the pathways were quite dusty. And so, under Middle Eastern custom, whenever a guest came into someone's home, the first thing that was done was to get a basin of water and to rinse the dust and the grime off their feet and then dry their feet. That was just what you did. Now, in our society, what do? Well, we shake hands with someone. We maybe give them an embrace. Back in Bible times, they would wash someone's feet. Then they would give a holy kiss, as Paul describes it. Now, in today's world, you can't trust half the birds out there, so we just shake hands, all right? We just shake hands with one another, all right? Not trying to be sarcastic, but nonetheless, that's true. All right, so if you invited someone over to your house for dinner, and when they showed up, you did not greet them, all right? You did not greet them, welcome them, then you were being just plain old rude. In Middle Eastern culture, this washing of a guest's feet was so vital and such an important part of any kind of fellowship. And it would have been rude not to wash the guests, your guests' feet. But notice what this woman did. This woman was so humbled, and she humbled herself to the task. Did she notice that Simon did not do this? Probably so. I would not be surprised at all if she noticed. That may have been what spurred her to go and act in this fashion that she did. Now remember, folks, this is not her house. This is not her house. She doesn't know where a basin can be found. She does not know where the water can be drawn from. She does not know any of that. She's a guest in the house. So what does she do? Well, this shows that she is one thankful woman. I mean, what she did was she used her own tears. Now think about it, folks. That is a lot of tears. She is not just teary-eyed, she's weeping. She is so thankful that she's weeping in the midst of all those people, none of whom she knows. That's amazing, isn't it? And she does not come around to the front. She comes from behind. She wants to be inconspicuous, if you will. She doesn't want the show to be about her. She does not want everybody's focus upon her. No, the focus needs to be upon the Lord. And so here are these tears of thankfulness that she is weeping. And then notice she takes her hair and she wipes his feet clean. Wow. I'm telling you, folks, that is an amazing thing. And this woman humbled herself for the task. We all know how much sorrow and heartache sin brings to the sinner. I cannot tell you, but the number, I don't know the number, but I can tell you it's many. That since I became a pastor until tonight, there have been so many people who have come and said, "Pastor, can you help me?" "Well, what do you need help with?" "Well, I've got this drug problem." "Well, I've got this drinking problem." You know, a person who's a drunk knows they've got a problem. It's not like independent Baptists who say, "Well, it's not that big a deal." Amen. I had one tell me one time, "Well, I can stop anytime I want." I said, "Then stop." You can stop anytime you want, then stop. But I cannot tell you, folks, how many times that folks have come to me and said, "Can you help me?" Now, why do they want help? Because sin has taken its toll on them. You know, when you're 20 years old, it's all ha, ha, he, he. But when you're 40 and 50 years old, it's not so much fun anymore. And you try to get rid of it, but it's got its hooks in your flesh. And you're trapped. And you say, "Well, I just don't know." My dad and I were talking the other day, and we were talking about the neighbors that we had when we were growing up. And I said, "Well, is he still living?" And Dad said, "Oh, no. No, he smoked himself to death." "Well, what about his wife?" "No, she drank herself to death." "Well, what about so-and-so?" "No, she died of lung cancer." "What about so-and-so?" "Well, he was an alcoholic and took his own life." Folks, it's never ending with sin. It's just never ending when it comes to sin. And I have seen a lot of people get saved, and they're so ecstatic about getting saved. I mean, they just seem to burst with joy and appreciation for what the Lord has just done in saving their eternal soul. And they just can't be quiet about it. I know a lot of folks, sin had a terrible hold on them. But the Lord Jesus reached down into the pit and lifted them out and set them upon the solid rock. Amen. And put a new heart in them. Right. And put a new song on their lips, even praise to his name. Right. And that's happened to a lot of you sitting right here. A lot of you sitting right here. Thank God it has. Thank God it has. I'm sure there are people that drive by and they see the cars out in the parking lot and they think, man, what's wrong with those people? Don't they know a football game's on? I mean, don't they know that, you know, Sunday night you're supposed to be home watching TV and getting ready for tomorrow? What's wrong? They're going to church on Sunday. You know, I can understand them going on Sunday morning, but Sunday night? What's wrong with those fanatics? Well, you see, if you got a lot to be thankful for, if when the Lord reached down in that pit, you were about up to here and ready to go under at any moment, and the Lord lifted you out and changed your life, oh, my soul, you got a lot to be thankful for. You know, we might laugh and joke at the beginning of a life of rebellion. We might, yuck it up and just ha, ha, ha at the beginning of a life of sin against God. But don't forget, when sin is conceived, it's not anything to laugh about. It's not anything to laugh about at all. When you rebel against the Lord and create a passion for sin that is simply never satisfied, and you go through life as sin's victim, well, that's just not fun at all. That's not an enjoyable life at all. But where, verse 47, there is much forgiveness, there is much appreciation. And this woman was so thankful for what Jesus had done for her, she came and wept over his feet and then washed his feet with her hair. That's amazing to me. Second thing, all right, so not only, first of all, did she wash his feet, but then notice, secondly, she dried his feet. And here's the thing, folks, she dried his feet with her hair. Take your Bible for just a second and go over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. All right, let's begin reading in verse 14. Everybody there? All right, verse 14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a what? Shame unto him. All right, now, lest someone put words in my mouth, it doesn't say it's a sin, but it does say it's a shame. All right. Now look at verse 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is a what? Glory for her. For her hair is given her for a covering. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment, folks. Verse 14 says, doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Now again, not a sin, but it is a shame. Do you know why it's a shame? Because it is revealing a rebellious heart. That's why. You remember the 60s? What was that all about? Rebellion. Exactly. That's what it was all about. You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to do. One of my friends graduated from high school, and I asked him one day, I said, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'm not real sure. He said, I don't want to go to college because I don't want a bunch of people telling me what to do. And I said, well, my friend, listen, I think it doesn't matter what field or where you go or what you do, you're going to have people telling you what to do. He said, well, I'm going to go join the military. Say what? I'm telling you, man. Yeah, that was good, wasn't it? But that really happened. I'm telling you the truth there. Amazing. You say, well, Pastor, what is long hair? Well, I'm not sure. I know what short hair is. There you go. Hey, look here. Long is the opposite of short. We all know what short hair is. Come on. So what's long hair? The opposite of short. Doesn't take a rocket science to figure that out, does it? But verse 15 says, if a woman have long hair, it is glory to her. In other words, folks, a woman's hair is for her glory. And this woman took her hair, her glory, to wipe the feet of our Savior clean from the tears that she wept upon his feet, because she was so thankful for his forgiveness of her sins. In order to honor the Lord, folks, she had to sacrifice her own glory. Does that make sense to you? In other words, she humbled herself. She was not concerned with her glory, you know, what she looked like. She was only concerned for his glory. So much so that she wiped his feet with her own hair. Wow. You see, she was more than willing to sacrifice her glory for his. I mean, after all, he was the one who redeemed her and gave her a new life. Amen. She was more than willing and happy to take her glory and give it to him. She was nothing but an old sinner until she met the Lord Jesus. And now she is forgiven of all her sins, and she is one thankful individual. Number three, notice, she kissed his feet. She kissed his feet. Can you imagine the shock of these Pharisees? I mean, what must they have felt here with this happening? They're standing there watching this, and they're thinking to themselves, how dare this woman? But this showed her affection for the one who forgave her of all her sins. Let me say it to you this way. It was her love for Christ that motivated her honoring Christ. It was her love. You know, when somebody is good to you, when somebody treats you well, wonderfully, well, you don't want to do anything that's going to hurt that person. Of course not. The Lord Jesus said one day, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14:15. You see, I think it's pretty clear that there is not a lot of love towards the Savior today around the world. And because men today do not love the Lord Jesus as they should, we do not see a whole lot of honoring of the Lord Jesus today. This is true for the individual, but it's also true for most churches and most denominations today. If you love me, keep my commandments. That means that we should love the Lord Jesus. Let me quote you a couple of verses. Psalm 2 and verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled, but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. You see, folks, the truth of the matter is we best kiss the Son and not do those foolish things like disobeying his word, lest the Son of God becomes angry with us. Oh, you don't want to make the Lord angry. No way. And when we realize what Jesus has done for him or for us, we'll love him more. I was thinking, when I was growing up, I never referred to my dad as the old man. I never did that. Or my mother as the old lady. I never did that. Why? Well, I watched my dad get up every morning and go to work. And as we were getting out of bed, he was going out the door. And then we come home from school, and a couple hours later, he would come in. And you could just see that he was tired, that he had been working hard that day. Why? So we'd have food on the table. I respected that. I love my dad, love my mom. My dad worked hard, never missed work. He never took a sick day the whole time he worked for American Electric Power. Never took a sick day. And sacrificed for our family. And I've always honored him and would never, never have disrespected him. Now, I feel the same way about my God, don't you? Amen. Let me remind you, Revelation 2:4, to the church at Ephesus, the first of the seven, they were rebuked because they had left their first love. And then lastly, number four, she took that alabaster box and she anointed his feet with an ointment. She anointed his feet. Verse 38 tells us that she anointed his feet with the ointment. You see, she had a valuable box that was made out of alabaster, probably very ornately etched, probably something that was brought in from the Far East to the Middle East, and she purchased it because of its beauty. No doubt. She saw it, and she wanted it, and she paid for it, which was filled with a precious ointment of some kind. Doesn't tell us what it was. But she gave great honor to the Lord Jesus by anointing his feet with this ointment. Now, The Pharisee, Simon, he didn't anoint the Lord's head. You see, that's normally what you did when a guest came. You took oil and you anointed the head. You washed the feet, but you anointed someone's head. And she didn't anoint his head. She anointed his feet. She was humbled beyond humility. You see, folks, the point is, she gave her very best, the best she had to honor him. And if we really want to honor the Lord Jesus, here's how we do it. We give him our best. We give him our best. You might remember Malachi rebuked the nation over giving second-rate gifts. They gave to the Lord that which was not the best that they had. They would bring animals for sacrifice that were blemished. They would bring animals that were worn or bruised or blind or lame or whatever the case may be, even sick. And the Lord, Malachi said, no. You don't honor the Lord by bringing your leftovers. You honor the Lord by giving him your best. Amen. Your best. And folks, if we really and truly want to honor God, let's give him our best. Give him the best we have. You say, well, what's the best I have? You. You. You see, she gave her best because she was so thankful for what Jesus had done for her. Simon did not do for the Lord what this woman did. He did not honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did not honor him because he did not believe in him. He did not believe that he was who he said he was. She washed his feet with the tears of thankfulness. She dried his feet with her own hair, her glory. She kissed his feet, and then she anointed his feet with the ointment that she brought. Oh, that we might honor the Lord with that which we have. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy to us. And when you were writing to the Corinthian church, you went through a list of sins. The Holy Spirit of God used the Apostle Paul to go through a list of sinful people. And he talked about murderers and liars and adulterers and so on and so forth. And when he completed this long list, he said, and such were some of you. And Father, that no doubt can be said of a lot of folks in this room and a lot of folks listening tonight. And such were some of you. But Father, we've been born again. We've been redeemed. We have been lifted out of the miry clay. And we ought to be a thankful people for what you've done for us. So, Father, help us to give you our best, to give you all the honor and the praise and the glory that you deserve for what you have done for each one of us. Bless your word now, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.